So today we knew the Achirav in that case. Let's apply it, you know, to subsequently, if he gets into his Kepali, you know that he wants to divorce her. To say, my friend, below Tia Liyusha, you have to marry her, and they have to, you know, you cannot simply divorce her. The Yemo. So let me say, the Imenu Yinu Lefonov, right? That if it doesn't apply to begin with in the case of the Moshe Shemra, then Tanayu Minyan Liachrov Diday. Then let it apply, you know, to, you know, what happens subsequently, and say, the Loy Loki, that he doesn't get Malkus. In other words, why can't we argue now that if the Moshe Shemra, here is a new argument that's being presented, okay? If the Motzi Shemra, who we said before, you know, he gets Malkus and so on and so forth, right? Why don't we say, look, why do you say that the Motzi Shemra has to get Malkus? Maybe he doesn't have to get Malkus, because if he divorces her, right, and then what does he do? He marries her again. Right. Then why can't we say that this is exactly the case of all the other lots Hanita Klasi that we've been talking about,
right,
where we said that, look, you know, he violates the negative law, and then, you know, he rectifies it by an affirmative, then in that case he doesn't get Malkus. So let's say that the Moshe Shemra doesn't get Malkus, which of course would be a violation of what the Torah had to say, right? When the Torah said the Onshu also, which we interpret as meaning that he does get Malkus, right? So I say, in Hokinami, yeah, you want to argue? Yeah, okay. I can argue like this. And the Otsi Ones, and then you'll take the case of the Ones, and, you know, learn what you want, you know, from the case of the Motsi Shemra, and see, you know, what are the parallels in this particular case. And so they say, Babai Goman Vine. And yeah, okay, so how are you learning, you know, let's say the case of the Ones from the Motzi Shemra? So he says, Ibe Kal V'Chomer or Ibe Mamatzino. Whether you do it through a Kal V'Chomer, you say, well, inasmuch as the easier case is blah, 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 right? And as we said before, in the case of the Motzi Shemra, right, where he didn't do any physical violation of her, okay? And the Torah said that he has to be, that he must keep her as his wife, so why can't we say that all the more so in the case of the Ones, you know, where he actually performed a physical action in violating her and so on? So that would be like the Kal V'Chomer. Or Ibeman Matzino, which means, look, let's say that they're perfect parallels. A corresponds to A, B corresponds to B, and C should correspond to D. They all correspond. Right. So they say, Yikra the Mefrach, he says, hey, no, we still say that it's not a perfect one, and you can still argue that you cannot judge one from another. Kidafar Kinan, even as we break the argument down by saying, Ma Lamotzi Shemra, just as in the case of the Motzi Shemra, Shekein Leyosa Masa, he didn't do anything physically, as we said, and still, what conclusion did we get? We still said that Milka, he has to be given Malkus. So, if that's the case, then your Kal V'Chomer doesn't work. The perfect parallelism isn't there, because one gets Malkus and the other one doesn't get Malkus. So Elo Amar Rava. So along comes Rava and he says, you know, maybe we can give a new twist to this. Okay? What is the new twist? He says, Kol Yomav. Why does the Torah say, you know, Lo Yuchal L'Shalcho Kol Yomav? He cannot divorce her all the days of his life. What does the Torah have to tell us, Kol Yomav, all the days of his life? Why does it have to say that? So he says, this Kol Yomav means Ba'amod V'Hachzer, which means that you have to go and make her again your wife. You have to remarry her, okay? V'chein, likewise, Ki Osa Ravin, when Rabin came back.
Rabin.
Yeah, did you know that Rabin's name is over here? Yeah. Usually you know Ashkenazi pronounce it Rabin. Okay. At any rate, when Rabin came back, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, they reported the name of Rabbi Yochanan. What? That called Yobov. All the days of his life means Be'amod Bachaser, that he has to remarry her. So Omer Loi Rav Papa L'Rava. So Rav Papa said to Rava, Oh, Lo Domi Lave L'Lav D'Chasima. Hey, he says, this love that he has violated, in other words, you know, the fact that he's not allowed to divorce her, this does not correspond to the love, to the negative one that we learned on the previous page, where it said that who gets Malkus? The guy who gets Malkus is somebody who, let's say, follows the example of thou shalt not muzzle the ox, right? Well, Sachsom Shor Bedisha, when, you know, the ox is doing the, right, the threshing. Why? Because there, as we learned, there is no way to rectify it. There is no way to rectify it. You violate it.
You can't take it back.
You can't take it back, and so therefore that's how you get, that's why you get Malkus. So that Malkus should involve a case which is similar to this. And here we cannot say that this is the case. Why can't we say it's not the case over here? For the simple reason that he does take her back. So there is an affirmative action. Well, if he takes her back, then in that case, you know, we would say that it's rectifying the other one, so that therefore he should not get Malkus. Not even who should get Malkus, not even the Motzei Shema should get Malkus, based on this. So he says, Omale. So he said to him, this is Rava answering Rav Papa, and he says, Mishum dekosa be'rachmona asa yisera. Hey, just because the Torah mentions an additional assay. So, Migra Gora, are you to say that therefore this minimizes the force of what the Torah has been saying before? In other words, what have we been saying? We've been saying that in the case of the Motzei Shemra, you tell me that he can rectify it by doing what? By taking it back again in marriage. And therefore he shouldn't get Malkus. But I say to him, to you, the fact that it says he has to marry her again, how does this square with the fact that to begin with he should have gotten Malkus because of what he did? So, Ihochi, if that's the case, then we should say, yeah, okay, I'll accept your argument if you will agree with me that in the case of a negative commandment, which then has an affirmative commandment to rectify it, what should happen? We said before, you don't get Malkus. But I say, hey, he should get Malkus too, because he has violated a law. Forget about the fact. In other words, simply because of the fact that the Torah then gives an affirmative action to say, affirmative action, you're going to rectify the violation of the law. Right? So Nigra Gora would say that, you know, that minimizes the force of the prohibition to begin with. So we should get Malkus for that. Of course, we said you don't. So obviously you can see they're arguing this on a theoretical basis. But it's interesting, very interesting to see, you know, how, you know, you have argument and counter-argument, argument and counter-argument. So it says, Lema, are we to say, Mishum Nikosa Be'rachmona Asa Yisera Migra Gora, as we said before, you know, similarly, are we to say because the Torah gave an additional affirmative action in order to rectify it, so we say, is that really there in order to loosen the previous one? So Amale, so he said, well, Ahul Nituke Lav Huda Otsa. So he says, you know what? The fact that the Torah then gives us something, right? It's in order to rectify a violation of a law. So, if we go in accordance with a theory that says, Bitlo below Bitlo, that Bitlo means that he violated it in such a way that he could never rectify it, then in that case what would happen? He gets Malchus. But the low Bitlo, what if he did not do something in order to violate it? And then in that particular case he doesn't get Malchus. We'll come to an example in a moment, okay? Elo Lamanda Omar. But if we go following the argument who says Kiyomo velo Kiyomo, Kiyomo would mean that he immediately fulfilled what the Beis Din told him to do, then he wouldn't get punished, right? Mm-hmm. But velo Kiyomo, if he didn't fulfill immediately what the Beis Din told him, then he would get Malchus. Then Mayiko Lemema, what are we going to say now in our argument? So he says, Midehu Tamo, is this really what the reason is? Elo la Rabbi Yochanan. This might fit what we were saying before about Rabbi Yochanan, who says that if a guy performed an affirmative, he violated something affirmative, right? And then he did something which was the law, then in that particular case he gets Malchus even for the violation of the affirmative. Okay? Well, so wouldn't that support his theory? Right. And in that case, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you can't rectify it. Right. Okay. As I said, what we need is an example, you know, this last business of Bitlo velo Bitlo and Kiyomo velo Kiyomo. Okay.
Going back to the...
So there's a long Rashi on this, which we'll look at, and then I think we'll take Rabbeinu Hananel, and then we'll call it quits at this particular point.
We'll take okay. Rabbeinu what?
It's a long Rashi. Yeah. It starts. It starts the third line below
the fourth line.
Yeah.
Actually,
the fourth line, right? It starts on the fourth line below the text of the Gemara.
It's in bold type.
You see, Hanich Lamand Omar, right? Lamand Tnei Bitlo Velo Bitlo.
Fourth line below the.
Yeah, where it gets wide over there, the fourth line over there, where it widens out.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. My Yikolimem, what are you going to say? So he says, Hod Amrit, you've said that Kol Yomov. What is the phrase all the days of his life? That means Be'amod V'Achzer Kai, that it applies to you gotta remarry her, right? Then Asiso Lav, in that case you made it into a situation where you have a Lav Shenitak La'aseh, right? You have a situation where the negative thing that you did, namely that you divorced her, is now rectified by what? By the fact that you have to remarry her. Okay. V'yachabto lo zman. Not only that, says Rashi, but you know what? You've given him a long time l'kiyum ha'aseh, to do that which he should be doing affirmatively in order to rectify. Why does he say a long time? Because kol yomov means all the days of his life. Right. So if he doesn't do it today, maybe we'll get around to it next week, maybe we'll get around to it next year, maybe we'll get around to it in 5 years and so on.
Before he dies.
Right. And in the meantime, he's not punished. That's the point. He's not being punished.
Right.
In accordance with what you're arguing, or the Tanya Machzir V'yenu Loike, where it says, you know, that he remarries her and he doesn't get Malchus. So Le'olam Ka'omar, in truth he says, Kozman Sheyochol Lomar Ani Machzir, as long as he keeps saying, well, I have the intention of remarrying her, right? That ain't Bezdin Malkino, so then the Bezdin cannot give him Malkos, because we said, you know, call your mom, he has a lifetime in order to do this.
Anyway.
So Nichalamanda Oma Adatani, according to the opinion of the one who learned the Kaman a little further on, the law Hanitak Ba'ase, that if we have a law, in other words a negative, right, which then is rectified by an ase, by an affirmative action, right? So bitel is a ase. So what would happen if, for example, he decided that he made it impossible to carry out the ase? Let's take, for example, a moment, the case of the Kohen. The very fact that he divorced her, right, which is a legal act, except that it was illegal in this case.
Right.
Okay? Because he was either a Moshe Shem or he was an Ones, right? But in any case, even if he was an Ones, who we said before, if he remarries, he doesn't get Malkus, but we learned that the Kohen will get Malkus. Why will he get Malkus? Because Bitel. He made it impossible to fulfill the remarriage part of it. Not allowed to. So that can be the case. So he gets Malkus for that.
Mm-hmm.
So if we say Bitel is Asay, then Chayav al Halav, right? Then in that case, he is liable to punishment for the violation of the law. But Lo Bitel is Asay. But let's say if he didn't make it impossible to fulfill, then in that case, Potter. Then he doesn't get Malkus. Why? Shehalav told Louis, because the negative commandment is dependent upon the bitul ha'ase, upon the making it impossible to carry out the affirmative action which would rectify it. The eino nigmar, and the time for this is not finished, ad sheyevatil es ha'ase b'yadayim bitul olam, except or until the point where he makes it absolutely impossible to carry out the violation of this at all. Shelo yuchal hiskayemot, that it would be impossible for it ever to be fulfilled anymore. So ikolameima, we can say kol yomo, as long as he is alive, right, yesh lo takone b'chazora, he can repair this business by marrying her again. She'ein mevatil is ha'ase, because he is not destroying the possibility that this can happen. Ela im kein, unless, let's say, he takes some action which will make it impossible. As for example, they say madiro shelo tehane mimeno. He makes a vow, for example, that she will never have any benefit whatever from him. In other words, he won't provide for her support, he won't have any relations with her, right? I mean, these things, that the husband is expected to give to his wife. Neder she'en lo hapora, and this is the kind of a vow that cannot be set aside by the court. You know what we have? We have what we call Hatoras Nedarim or Haforas Nedarim. Technically, there's a difference between them, but actually, Rashi is using over here the term is like a generic term. What do we mean by Hatoras Nedarim? So, we're familiar with the fact that, for example, either Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, we get together, right? We say that I made vows to do good during the course of the year, which I never had the opportunity. I was lazy or whatever it was, but I wasn't able to fulfill them, right? So please forgive me. So if the Beis Din, thinks it over, so they can be mater, okay? In the time of the Talmud, but even today, you don't necessarily have to go, see a couple of people down over here. You could go to a Rav, who is, an expert Rav, and you could also, he'll ask you, did you realize, when you made this vow, that under these and these circumstances, this and this would be the result of it? And if he says no, I was very thoughtless, I didn't think about the consequences, I didn't realize that this and this would happen, and so on. So then the Rav has the authority to be martyred, the Neder, okay? But here, if he says, as long as she lives, she's never going to have any benefit whatever from me, then in that case, how could he ever remarry her? You understand? He can never do that. So in that case, what does he deserve? Malchus. Because he's violated it and he's made it impossible to fulfill the affirmative action which would have been able to cancel out his deed in divorcing her. Okay?
Actually, marrying someone else would not be an absolute bar because he could. Is that correct?
That would be correct unless, you know, if there's somebody who is a closely related woman, you know, through blood or something like that, you know, where possibly, you know, it might work out that way. Can't go into all the various ramifications, obviously, because there are different possibilities. But I think that we understand the example clearly enough that if he, you know, if he creates a situation wherein he can never fulfill the remarriage, then in that particular case, he deserves punishment for it. So this is what we say, bitel v'lo bitel, okay?
Right.
Elo leman de toni. But if we follow now the opinion of the one who learned kiyem es ha'atze potur lo kiyem o chayav, in other words, if he fulfilled the what the Torah has demanded of him to do immediately, then in that case he is potur of course from what? From getting malchus, right? But lo kiyem o, but if he didn't do it, if he didn't fulfill it, then chayav. He deserves, you know, Malkish, Sheha Asay Tikuna Shalavhu, because the affirmative one would have repaired the Lav, the Yain Halav Talui Bevitul Ha'asay, but the Lav is not dependent upon the nullification altogether, the possibility of following, fulfilling the Asay. Shemeshah Sheovar Halav Nigmar, from the moment that he violated, this is the moment, the first moment that he already violated, you know, the law, then nigmar. Then in that case, that's the end of the situation and he deserves malchus. Of course, this is the idea of kiyem. Kiyem would mean that the Besdin says to him, look, this you got to do. If he does it immediately, okay. But if he doesn't do it immediately, then he gets his malchus. Which, of course, as we see, is the contrary of what we said before about bitel or bitla, right? That if bitel, if he did an action, you know, which made it impossible for him to do it, but if lo bitlo, if he didn't do any such action, then he has kol yomov, we said. He can has a lifetime in order to rectify it. Then he doesn't get malchus during that time. So, this is what we're saying over here. Nigmar. Okay, the minute that he violated, that's the end of it. Avol ha'ase niten la'akor ha'malkos. The only reason why we have an ase is not because of the fact that he has violated the law. That goes without saying. He had no business doing anything like that. But the only reason why we have an ase after it is la'akor ha'malkus, in order to free him from getting malkus. U'sheyavo le'bezdin, and if he comes to the bezdin now, okay, o yekayim ha'asei v'yipater, either he should fulfill the asei, do it, and then he'll be potter for malkus, right? Or yilke, or let him get malkus. So leka le'meimar kol yomov. So we cannot say that the words kol yomov, all the days of his life, means that he can carry it out all, you know, he has a lifetime in order to do that which is right, in order to rectify it. Get a comment, as we said before. In other words, in the case of, you know, bitlo below bitlo. So you see there are two conflicting theories as to what is going on over here. She'im lo yachsirena miyad kishyabo the bezdin, because if he doesn't take her back in marriage, then immediately as soon as he comes to the bezdin, yalkuhu, they're going to give him malchus because he didn't do it. Okay, immediately. The whole leka lemeimor yekayim liachasban, because here you cannot say if you follow this philosophy that I'll get around to it eventually. As we said before. Well, the Yom Kain, right?
If he takes his Malkus.
Yeah. Good question.
Huh?
Yeah.
And he still doesn't marry her. He says, I'll do it sometime later on.
But in that case, the Bezdin has the right to say, you're not doing it? Okay.
You get Malkus again.
Tomorrow you get Malkus, the day after that you get Malkus.
Oh, that way.
So,
oh,
of course.
Oh, we get a platform.
Hey, listen, the Bezdin has to do something, you know.
Oh, okay.
Is that the Zolto? Because of when it, I mean, you're supposed to have it limited to 39, isn't that? You're allowed to do
39 at any
but one of the doctor says that the man is physically fit to get more. You understand? So not at this time, but let's say tomorrow. You understand? What if we say the day after tomorrow or something like that? Look, the Bezdin has a right, you know, to set terms. You understand? As long as it's not in conflict with the laws of the Torah. Okay.
Right.
So how can you ever say that, yeah, I'll get around to doing it. So in other words, that you cannot say. I'll fulfill it sometime. No, either you fulfill immediately or not. So that's the difference between Kiyem below Kiyem as compared to Biklo below Biklo. Okay, so we'll stop at this particular point and continue from the top of the next page. Okay.
You were saying, Robert, what?
Yeah, so we'll start with Midigal. We'll start next week.
What are we going to say about this commentary on the continent?
I'll tell you.
All right.
He gives some example over here. He gets it from Nosor, okay? The Kosov Bay Gabi Nosor. I'm reading the last lines over there, okay? Name on the Hochim Mishum, the Kosov Bay Gabi Nosor, right? What says Losim Menu Adboke, right? Behoda Kosov, and afterwards it's written, right? Vanosim Menu Adboke, Besh Tisroko. So, Migra Grara, we're going to say that the fact that, you know, the Torah gives an affirmative action in order to make up for his violation, that that weakens the fact that he should never have allowed the situation to exist in the first place. But for Kinnan, so we give it following answer, hi, right? The Hanosar Miminu Adboke, that's the Tukune, that's in order to fix it up, the Lave, who the Osa, Kolomar. In other words, Imuava the Hosir, if he violated and he left over, you know, from the carbon, then you sufin about boker, then he has to burn it the following morning with dayo, and it's okay. That's a pot. The aminin, and we say hon nicho, this is okay. Lamanda tani, in accordance with the one who learns that kol mitzvahs lisatze sheyesh bo kamaseh, that wherever you have a negative commandment, which is then subsequently followed by an affirmative action that can, you know,
rectify it,
right? So kiyem asay shebo potor, then if he fulfilled the affirmative commandment that's involved over there, then he's potter from yani malchus. But lo kiyem chayuv, but if he didn't do it, then he gets malchus. So hainu the ika the meimor the tikne of love who the osa. Then we can say that in this case, then the affirmative came in order to rectify the prohibition of the law. El Alaman the Tani. But if we take the situation where Bitlo Chayav, that if he made it impossible to do it, Kigom, for example, Shechil Hanosala Klovim, he gave this nosor as food to the dogs. Instead of burning it the way he's supposed to do, but instead, you know, he gave it to the dogs. You understand?
It was a sacrifice.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a holy sacrifice. Right. Don't take a holy sacrifice
you
and
feed it to the dog.
Give it. Right. Burning is one thing. I mean, but to feed it to the dogs, right? The chayav, then he's going to get malchus for that, right? The holo efshar le misrafe, because once he's fed it to the dogs, it's impossible
to
burn it. Right. Aval hocha, but in this case, im anosar kemo shehu, if the nosar is still untouched, afal pi shelos rofo, even though he hasn't burnt it as yet, right? Eino chayav, he still wouldn't get malchus. My ikol ameimar. What can you say? So for kinon, Therefore, they ask, so that continues on the next page. But anyway, I just wanted to show you, see, that there are situations, you know, here is he gives an example from the case of Noser, where a person made it impossible to fulfill by doing it. But, the example that I gave before about the Kohen, who divorced her, right? And so why did we say that he deserves Malkus?
Because he can't rectify
it. He can't rectify it, exactly. So this is a basic thing. All right, so B'Yirtzah Hashem, next week we shall continue from Amud Beis.
Amud Beis.
Tezvav Amud Beis. And again, I want to repeat. The next 2 weeks we'll meet at a quarter. At a quarter to eight, because
very difficult.
You know, it's difficult now as the Mincha Maariv is being later, and so on.
Next week will be even later, won't it?
Yeah, it'll be about 5 minutes later next week. So instead of 5:45 this week, so it's 5:50 next week. And so that for the next 2 weeks, it's more realistic to make it. Time on. All right, we're on Tesvav Amud Beis, but I just wanted to point out the last line on the previous side. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Where we said over there that Tonicha Lamando Omar Bitlo Velo Bitlo. In other words, we can understand, you know, why a person should get Malkus if we follow the system that says Bitlo. In other words, if he made it impossible to rectify, right? Then he gets Malkus. Below Bitlo, but what if he didn't do anything to make it impossible to do so? Then in that case, what? We would say he doesn't get Malkus.
What was your example? I forget.
Okay. For example, with a divorcee. Okay? I mean, he divorced his wife. Okay? There are other examples. All right. But let's say, for example, he divorced his wife when he's not allowed to, because the Torah says that, you know, Velo Tiyeli Isha, right? And then it says, "Lo yuchal l'shalchol kol yamav," right? He cannot divorce her any, you know, throughout his lifetime. Okay.
Right.
So, what happened if he divorced? Okay. So in that case, he deserves Malkus. No question about it. But what do we say? We say that if Bitlo, in other words, he brought about a situation whereby it was impossible for him ever to remarry her, as we gave the example of the Kohen, right? Kohen, who divorces his wife, in that particular case, he's not allowed to remarry her because she's now a divorcee. So that therefore we learned that the Kohen is going to get Malkus. Whereas if it were a Yisrael who can remarry his wife, then in that particular case, the violation of, you know, of having divorced the wife is compensated for by virtue of the fact, you know, that he can remarry her, and therefore by remarrying her he will not get Malkus. Okay, this is Bitlo Velo Bitlo.
What is the literal translation of Bitlo?
Bitlo means he made it bottle.
Oh, that's where the word bottle comes from. Okay.
In other words, he made it impossible to fulfill. On the other hand, Ela Lamad Omar Kimo Velo Kimo, right? If we take, however, the point of view of Kiyomo, Kiyomo means that he fulfilled immediately what he said. So in that particular case, if he fulfilled, well, it depends what he was told to do. All right, let's say that, you know, they told him, you must remarry this woman. Okay? So Kiyomo, he immediately went and he remarried her. Then in that case, he wouldn't get Malkus. But below Kiyomo, what if he simply put it off and put it off and put it off and he didn't do it? Then in that case, he deserves Malkus because not following through immediately upon what the court said to him, he must do.
But he still demanded to do it, even though he may put it off for, let's say, a year or two.
Right, but the question is,
in the meantime, he gets Malkus, but
correct.
He still has to put it.
Correct. He deserves Malkus, okay? But if he immediately acts in accordance with what the court tells him, then in that case he's off the hook as far as Malkus is concerned. He gets back his bucket.
Oh, I'm going to play that back for Anderson.
Well, I mean, but the Malkut aren't administered, correct? I mean, the whole purpose is not to administer the Malkut. Right?
Correct.
What is a reasonable time? A low human.
That is up to the authorities to make a decision. They can't say, we'll give you 30 days to remarry her or something like that. They say to him, look, you have violated a law of the Torah and you deserve Malkus. You want to get out of Malkus, then our decision is that you must remarry her immediately. Okay? So if he remarries her immediately, then this is Kiyomo. He fulfilled it, whatever the court told him he must do, okay? But below Kiyomo, what if he didn't do it? Then in that particular case, he deserves Malkus. And for every day that he doesn't do it, he deserves to get another Malkus, okay? Until he goes ahead and does it.
The only thing is that the low Bitlu, he said last week, Bitlu is open-ended, so that if...
correct.
Example of I'm sorry.
Yeah, all right, correct. You can take, again, the case of the person who, is told to remarry his divorced wife, where the Torah says he's not allowed to divorce her in the first place, okay? So, they base it, if you remember, last week we had towards the end of the daf, upon call your mother.
Right, call your mom. That's
call your days, call your life.
Right. In other words, every day of his life, he has a chance to rectify that which he's doing. So, in that case, he can say that, look, it's not Kimo Veloki, this would be like Bitlo Veloki. Okay? As long as I am alive, I have a chance, to carry out what you say, and therefore I don't deserve Malkus. Okay,
you can say that.
Exactly.
He can say that, right?
Because he has the intent.
Right.
Of remarrying.
Says I have the intent. Exactly.
I will be the
right.
Now, putting it, lahefet.
Right.
What is a reasonable time? You say if he does it immediately, he's fine. If he doesn't do it immediately, then he receives Malkus.
Correct.
Why can't they use the same call your mom? Why can't they say, in order to exculpate him, they'll say,
depends on the point of view. I mean, obviously, there's a machloikas between the Tanoim in this particular case as to whose point of view is the right point of view. And this is what the Gemara is now going to continue to discuss. We're not finished with this inyan yet.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we're not finished with it. It's not that clear cut. Okay.
Okay.
I mean,
maybe
it's a ridiculous argument, but if you have on one side to say, call your mom.
Right.
That he has to the end of the time.
Correct.
As long as he has the intent.
Right.
He
doesn't deserve Malkus according to
Why
this
not
point
on
of
the
view.
Other
You're
hand,
right.
When they say, you got married, and say, well, all right, I haven't gotten married and I deserve Malkus, but why not give me also call your mom? As long as I have the intent of doing it, why not?
So it depends. Which point of view is going to be accepted as the correct point of view? And as we see, when you have two Tanoim of equally good status and they all have cogent arguments, right? Then in that case, it's not easy to go and to say that the halacha is this and then not the other one. So far, we have not actually established any halacha.
And Rashi doesn't say anything about that.
No. Rashi is only interested in explaining the machlekes over there. Right. Okay. So this is exactly what we learned in the Rashi, okay? That, he has, as long as it's, Kiyomo below Kiyomo, he has all the time in the world, so to speak, in order to fulfill it, and therefore he's part of the Malkus.
I think the difference is the declaration that he intends to do it. I think in the Bitlo below Bitlo, man doesn't make any doesn't declare any intention to correct the law.
Why do you say that?
Because he doesn't say that. He doesn't say he created a sin.
Yeah.
But he doesn't declare himself
that he's going to correct it.
The other thing is, if it's the opposite, if he declares that he will not correct it, now he says, I take a neder, I will never marry this woman.
That's a possibility,
again.
Right?
All right.
Yeah.
Then
right.
that's Bitlu, because
he's
canceled his chances
right.
Or if he doesn't declare it at all.
Okay, now that's if he doesn't declare it at all, then that's lo bifu. Then he basically allows the possibility of rectification be open-ended to the end of his days. Well, how about the other way around, where you could say, in effect, if they say to him, you married the woman, all right? And he says, he doesn't say anything. He just gives the same argument. All right, it's open-ended. As long as I have the intent to marry her to the end of my days,
makes the commitment that he's going to marry her sometime during his time. That I think seems to be the difference between the two statuses.
Well, let's take a look once more.
I know.
The last three lines of the Rashi, on Tesvav Amud Aleph. Okay, let's just look once more. It says over there, Leman detone kiye mesa ase. Right. In other words, he fulfilled the ase. In other words, the positive commandment that was told to do. If he fulfilled it. Potter, right? Then in that case, he gets no malchus. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Lo kiyimo, what if he didn't fulfill what the Beis Din said unto him? Then chayev. In other words, he gets malchus, right? Sheha asay, because this asay, in other words, the positive action that he takes, namely to remarry the woman, right? Tikuno shelavu. This is in order to correct his violation of the natu, right? Natu divorce. Right. V'yein halav talui bevitul ha'ase. And the negative commandment, in other words, not, you know, to divorce her, it's not dependent upon the fact that then an affirmative action can take place. I mean, why? Because he may decide that he's not going to do it, you understand?
Because he has to declare himself.
Right. Shem Ishoa, because from the very moment She'ovar Halav, right, that he violated the love, then in that case, Nigmar, then this became a final decision on his point. Okay? Avol Ha'ase, but the affirmative action, then Nitam is given to us la'akor ha'malkus, in order to literally uproot the malkus, in other words, to free him from getting malkus. U'sheyavol ha'bezdim, and when he comes into the bezdim, right, o yikayem ha'asei v'yipoter, either he's going to fulfill the affirmative action that they tell him to do, namely to remarry, v'yipoter, and then he will be poter from getting malkus, right? Oh, Yilke. Or else the alternative is for him to get Malkus. Lekele Meimar, so he says, if that's the case, then you cannot hold the, you cannot state that Kol Yomov, that the phrase Kol Yomov is long as he lives, Be'amod Ba'achzerkai, that in other words, he has a lifetime in order to fulfill this. Because what is the Beis Din saying?
Right. Okay.
Do it right now. Right.
That's right. The answer.
Right.
Okay.
So that's why we really have to go over Rashi and try to understand what Rashi is trying to bring up. Okay. Kidakamrit, as we've already said, Sheim lo yachsirena miyad ki shevolu Beis Din, that if he will not remarry her immediately when it comes to the Beis Din, yilkuhu, they'll give him malchus. The whole lekel of Meimar, because we can't say yikayim le'achazman, that yikayim, he'll fulfill it sometime
in the future.
Diyim kein lo kiyim, because if that's the case, he did not fulfill what the Beis Din said to him.
Said to him, marry her immediately.
Yeah. Because, hey chidomi, how can you say le'olam hu yochel lomar ani mekayim? If all you're going to say is that as long as he says, yeah, one of these days I'll get around to it, I haven't given up the idea in my mind to do it in
that's
London.
Definitively destroyed that argument.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
that's
okay.
The argument. That's not what I said.
Okay. All right. So now the Gemara says, Midehu Tamo. So he says, argument about Rashi refers it to Kol Yomav Be'amid Ba'achzer. Okay, that in other words, that he can marry her as long as he's alive. He can remarry her, right? says Midi Hutabo, it says Rabbi Yochanan might apply this. This can only apply to the stated opinion that we have here of Rabbi Yochanan. Let's read the Rashi, because it's a little complicated over here, as you can see. There are a few lines of text, but God knows how many lines of commentary over here.
Yeah. Wow.
Huge.
You're just right.
And you know, there are different readings and different renderings and so on, because they're not quite sure. I mean, you know, there's an argument that's a little complicated, okay? All right, Rashi on the top over there. It says, in other words, this can only apply to what Rabbi Yochanan said. Remember that. Now we're having an argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, okay? Which we started on the previous page. It says, it says, who felt that it was necessary to make a drash about Kol Yomov, you know, that is, those words, as long as he lives, this refers to the fact that Amud Haqsir, at any time in his lifetime, he can remarry her? Rabbi Yochanan. This would apply to Rabbi Yochanan. Why? She Omar, who said, Loisa said, if you have a negative commandment, right? Shekedomo ase, where an affirmative action actually precedes the love, then in that case we said lokin olav. Right. In other words, he would get malchus for failing to do what he was told to do. Okay. V'kashale ones, and we said before on the previous page the reason why he sort of retracted when it was questioned about it, right, was because he couldn't figure that he had difficulty with this business of the ones, the person who rapes, as we said, right? Shegerash, who divorced. Why? The kotone, because we learned eino loke, right? That he doesn't get malchus. And to Rabbi Yochanan, it's very difficult to understand why doesn't he get malchus.
Right.
We said with the motzi, he gets both malchus, right, and also a monetary fine if he refuses, you know,
right,
to do what he's supposed to do. Okay,
50 years.
But with the ones, we said, but with the rapist, you know, so he gets a monetary fine, but we said that he doesn't get malchus.
He
okay?
has to marry the girl.
Yeah, that, in either case, they both have to marry. Right. But actually, in the case of the Motzi Shemra, he was already married.
That's right.
He was already married. Because what is the Motzi Shemra?
He claims
that she was not a virgin when he married her,
right?
She was not a virtuous woman, which he had expected, okay? And they proved that he was a liar. This is why he's a Motzi Shemra, and that's why the Torah comes out upon him with 2 feet, you see, okay? But in the case of the Ones, he was a virgin.
He raped her.
Or an unmarried woman, I mean, what difference does it make? But he raped her. And then the Torah says, well, actually, the Torah does specify that it should be a virgin.
Oh,
so
she's
maybe
unmarried, we have to assume.
But she's not married, okay? And he rapes her. And so the Torah says, your punishment for raping her is that you must marry her. You cannot divorce her as long as you live. And in addition, you have to pay her father 50 silver shekels as a fine. Okay?
Yeah, but his intent is to do that so she would marry him anyhow. What is she getting out of it? She doesn't want to marry him.
Maybe she does. Maybe she does. She feels that she was dishonored by him, and so at least she wants to be married. Maybe it's vetshatn to another shidduch, you understand?
That's right.
I mean, she would be considered damned good in the community, so that other men would not want to marry her. That's the problem. So that this is why the Torah says, you know, that he has to marry her. He shouldn't go around, you know, raping young ladies and so.
But how it points out, she's the one that's really being punished too, because she may not have chosen him as a husband.
Yeah, this
he,
I understand.
He chose to
wait right.
because he wanted to marry her. Right?
Yeah. But, well, I would say it's the only way to get her to do it. I mean, he could still speak to her father.
Well, she knows that she didn't, she turned him down. What her father didn't want.
So what business did he have raping her? What business did he have raping her?
He didn't. She didn't.
All right.
All right. That's
seems to me that from her point of view, as I say, I mean, we're not talking about the modern woman, you know, who can be self-supporting and everything else. Right. You have to consider from that point of view.
Right.
That back in those days, a woman sought to be married. It's Gemara that we learned a long time ago when we had Kedushin, and it's repeated in several other places. That's the Tov Lemesov Tendum Midalesev Arbala, which means that as far as a woman is concerned, she would rather live together with a man as a, you know, as a married couple than to dwell all alone by herself. Okay? Because if she's married, she has a position, she has panosa, she has status and everything else, understand? Her future is assured as a woman. Whereas, as I said a few moments ago, if she is considered damaged goods of the community, we're not talking about, you know, where you have a million people living in a metropolitan area or even a place where you have a half million people or something like that. She comes from a little village where maybe there are 100, 200, 300 people or something like that, and everybody knows what's cooking in the other person's pot. You know what it is. So it's a different situation. So at least she wanted to have that security. And at the same time, the Torah feels that this would be enough of a warning, so to say, that people shouldn't go around, you know, raping women if this is what they want to do in order to get a wife.
And not only that, she can make his life miserable for the rest of his life.
All right.
So you better treat her nice.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
That's correct. All right, so he says, "Vakashile," right? Ones. Rabbi Yochanan had trouble with the idea. Why should the ones who divorced his wife, the katoni eno loka, where we learned that he's not going to get malchus, right? The hutzrach laasei se lav shenichtach laasei, so that you know, we are now required to make this into a case of a lav. Right? Of a negative commandment, which is then rectified, so to speak, by the virtue of the fact, you know, that he performs an asay, which in this case is to remarry her. Okay? Mm-hmm. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't understand. It was difficult for him to understand. Right? So, Ha'omar Alei, Rabbi Yochanan the Tana. So it says, Rabbi Yochanan said to one of the Tanoim, one of the scholars in the Beis Medrash, he says, to me, you know what? He says, you should learn as follows, that bitlo chayov below bitlo potter. That instead of saying, you know, that it's a matter, let's say, of kiyomo below kiyomo, you know, in other words, he has all the days of his life in order to do it, rather let's talk over here about the fact that bitlo, the case is that if he made it impossible to remarry her, then in that case what? He would get malchus, right? Chayev. Below biklo, but if the possibility exists, you know, that he will fulfill, the idea of remarrying her, as we say, based upon the idea of kol yomav, in other words, he does have a lifetime to do it, then in that case, potter, he would be free. The Tani Tana Kameda Rabbi Yochanan, as we've learned, that a Tana taught the following teaching in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan, and he said, "Call mitzvahs leisase, sheyesh bo kumase." In the case of all mitzvahs which are negative, right? Sheyesh bo kumase, where you do have the chance to rectify the violation of the mitzvahs leisase by means of an affirmative action subsequently. Right. So kiyem ase shebo, if he fulfilled the ase which is involved in it, then in that case potter. Then in that case he does not get malchus. But bitel ase shebo, but what if he made it impossible to carry out the affirmative action that would correct it? Then in that case, chayav. So he would receive malchus. Okay? So, on the surface, it looks pretty good. We'll take a look again at the Rashi, because I'm going slowly. I feel that it's important, I mean, for us to understand what Rashi is trying to explain to us. Okay? He wouldn't get Malkus. That's what we mean by going free. He's not free. He has the obligation to marry her. But he wouldn't get Malkus because he could claim that he will do it. He just hasn't got around to doing it as yet. Circumstances were such that he couldn't do it. Maybe he was sick, or he had to go on vacation, or who knows what, you know, what teretz he gives. Mm. But he says he's going to do it, okay? So as long as he says he's going to do it, then in that particular case he would not get it. Now this is, as we said, this is the case of bitlo velo bitlo. Yeah. But it's not the case of kiyomo velo kiyomo,
right,
which has a different philosophy underlying. Okay? Kiyomo velo kiyomo means either he does it immediately, or else if he doesn't do it immediately, he gets malchus for not doing it immediately. Okay? Bitlo velo bitlo says that he can take his time if necessary. Okay? Unless he made it absolutely impossible to do that affirmative action which would rectify his violation in the negative. Okay? Yeah. All right. So, Ha'omale Rabbi Yochanan Letana says the Kamon Tani, before we learned what? Bitlo Chayav, right? That if he made it impossible, then what happens? He gets Malkus and lo bitlo potter, right? Aval Reish Lakish. But how about Reish Lakish? The Tani, Kiyomo velo Kiyomo, that the Machlokes is as to whether he fulfilled immediately what the Beis Din said to him or not. So lo dorish le la'amad v'achzei, then obviously Reish Lakish does not accept the principle that all the days of his life he has a chance to make good what he's supposed to. Obviously, because the Beis Din, according to his opinion of Kiyomo velo Kiyomo, says, hey buddy,
you gotta do it now.
You're not off the hook, you gotta do it immediately. That's all.
What is the word after la'amod you have? I have, it's like
Vachzer.
Vachzer, okay.
Vachzer, in other words, take her back.
Right, okay.
Okay? Take her back in marriage. Elo lefnei hagerushin lomar kol yomov tielo leisha velo yishaltena. But rather, we have to say that the court says to him, even before he contemplates divorcing her, that the court is to say to him, kol yomov, that means tielo leisha. She is to be your wife as long as you live, right? Velo yishalchena, and you're not allowed to divorce her. Okay? Uladi day, and as far as he's concerned, lav shekedomo asay, where we have a negative commandment, where first there was an asay. The asay is, remember, he had to marry her in the first place. Okay? The lav shenitek la'asay, and in the case of a lav which then is followed by an affirmative command, which, you know, gets him off the hook, he says, shove it. In his opinion, it makes no difference what the order of the procedure is. They're the same. V'yein loikin alehen, right? And you do not get malchus. Elo yikayim ha'aseh miyad. But what is his point of view? What is Reish Lakish's point of view? He's not arguing, in other words, the point whether the asay came before the lav or whether the asay followed the lav. That was Rabbi Yochanan's point of view. Rabbi Yochanan, if you remember, said that, you know, if the asay comes before and you didn't do it, then in that case you deserve malchus, even if subsequently, you know, you rectify it. Okay? That's what he had said originally.
Correct.
Maybe by now it's retracted after all the arguing back and forth. That's already a different story. But this was the original statement that we had on the previous page. Okay? But according to Reish Lakish, he says, I don't care whether the love is before or after. In either case, he won't get malchus for this. But what will he get malchus for? Yekayim ha'aseh miyad, kesheyaz hiruhu bezdin lahatsim. He has to fulfill the command of the court immediately when the command when the court commands him to go and to remarry her. Okay? And in that case, as we saw, that, you know, if they say to him, you know, kiyem velo kiyemo, then in that case he deserves bar mitzvah for not doing what the best of told him to do. All right. All right, getting back to our text now.
Okay.
All right. Omalei. So he said to him, my comrade, what do you say? He says, kiyem potur lo kiyem chayav. Are we to say then that kiyem, if he fulfilled immediately what the Besdin told him to do, then he is potter from Malkus, right? Lo kiyem, if he didn't fulfill what he did, then in that case what? Chayav. He gets Malkus. Bitel chayav, right? And taking the other clause, if it's bitel, in other words, he made it impossible to fulfill, then in that case, chayav, he gets malchus, and lo bitel, but if he didn't make it impossible to fulfill, then it's potter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he says to him, you know what? To me, teach that the teaching is bitlo, velo bitlo. Teach, and this, by the way, this is actually accepted as the final decision. That,
oh, really? The more lenient.
Because this you can see from that little aleph over there that the, you know, the Rambam paskens this way. Okay?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right. Uh-huh. The Rambam paskens this way, and then also we have several of the other books, you know, codes of law, which also would confirm that this is what the halacha should be, namely, that if he was mavatel, in other words, he made it impossible to ever to fulfill, then in that case he gets malchus, right?
Mm-hmm.
But below bitlo, as long as he didn't, then he does not get malchus. So in other words, this opinion is not kiyem velo kiyemo.
Besides the neder, what other examples would there be of a man's action that would
make it impossible.
He cancels the possibility.
Cancels the possibility.
Of remarriage.
Okay, very good. The Gemara will discuss it a little bit later. One or two possibilities.
No. All right, you don't want to ruin the suspense.
No. Right. I'll give you one that's very easy to understand. Okay. The other one is a little far fetched, in my opinion.
Very easy.
The one which is the easy one is this. He divorces her,
right,
and immediately he gets her married to somebody else.
That's a good idea.
Once he gets her married to somebody else, then in this particular case,
it makes it
impossible for him to take her back again to marriage. Okay? So that would be bitla, bitel.
That's good.
Bitlo, okay?
Bitlo. But he gets.
He'll get Malkus. Of course he gets Malkus, because he had no business divorcing her. He violated the law.
Right, and he spoiled his chances.
And he spoiled his chance of ever taking her back again.
I was thinking, that in that day and age, the fact that he married someone else would not particularly cancel out his chances of remarrying her.
No, that wouldn't, because a man is permitted to marry more than one wife,
right?
Whereas a woman is not allowed to marry more than one husband. Okay,
right. Correct.
Poor ladies, discrimination. Question is, which man would want to marry more than one woman? It's enough sorrows you have with one.
Good thing this is an all-male class.
Right. Not very politically correct tonight.
Should be picketed yet.
Yeah, there he is, man. Okay. All right. So anyway, the Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, he takes the opposite point of view, right? He says, Omer, he says, Kiyemo velo kiyemo, right? He says that the Machlekes is about Kiyemo velo kiyemo. In other words, either you do what the Besdin tells you immediately, and you don't get Malkus, or if you don't do it, then you're going to get Malkus. Okay, so the Maikomuflike. So the question is, what are they in disagreement about? What are Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish disagreeing about? So they bring in the new element now. He says that their argument is based upon a different problem. Problem is Bahasroat Sofek Komiflike. Says that their argument is based upon whether the warning given to the person by the Beis Din was a definite warning, or was it couched in such terms that, yeah, you know, the right thing would be to do something like this. You understand? But they didn't say to him, look, you must do it or you're going to get malchus. Okay? If they had said that to him, that's no hasra suffix. But if they say to him, look, you're a nice guy, you don't want to get in trouble, why don't you do, you know, right, what a decent person is supposed to do, you know, the Torah says you're not allowed to divorce, so take her back into marriage, and so on and so forth and so on. Well, that already, this is a wishy-washy kind of a warning, you see. And if it's a wishy-washy kind of a warning, then in that case, you cannot give malchus based upon that. Malchus has to be based upon a definite warning.
Definite instruction.
Yeah. Like definite warning.
Right. The judges have to crack down.
Karazan.
When they give, yeah.
Karazan.
Right.
They have to make
right.
a decree.
Yeah. But.
Is anything, would yeah. these in writing? I mean, would the if he went to a Beit Din, would he get any, something in writing?
It is possible, because we learned in the Gemara Sanhedrin that the Beis Din had, you know, sofrei dayonim. In other words, they had people who would write down what was happening, the court action, the decrees, who said what in favor, who said what against, and
yeah.
things like that. You understand? So there were court records kept in those days. There's no question about it.
All right, no, because you know, okay,
yeah.
there would certainly be definitely.
It's very important. Very important to have absolutely a court record for something like this.
Because if lacking that, unless they're witnesses, I suppose,
yeah, right.
he could always claim that it was wishy-washy, even if it
right.
was definite.
Sure, sure.
Oh, but you got if you got a Beis Din, you got three people on a Beis Din against him.
Always three people.
Yeah.
Beis Din, the minimum is three people,
all
right.
right?
Could be more. Or
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it depends. You say more. I mean, it would depend
right.
upon the particular case that is being tried. It's true. I mean, if it were a case that involved capital punishment, for example, then in that case, you'd already need a court of 21.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay,
and if
that,
it's,
well,
you know,
we'll
like
about
a,
about argument,
would consider like a Supreme Court decision, then that, of
right.
course, would devolve, you know, a course of 70 or 71, depending upon whose opinion you take as to how much, how many dayonim there were in the Sanhedrin Gedola. I said the court of 21, I meant the court of 23.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the Sanhedrin Katana. Okay, yeah. So it could be three, and then for certain things, going to the Gemara and Sanhedrin, it might, for example, involve you start with three, you wind up with five, and then eventually wind up with seven, and so on. This would be in something like Kiddush Levana. I don't mean Kiddush Levana, but you know, to declare that the new month had started, you know, to make it official or something like that. There is an opinion to that effect. Okay,
you know, that's very
yeah.
interesting. There's
yeah.
an echo there. What you're saying, that if there is an original decision by three, it could be reviewed by five or seven? Is that what you're saying? Or did I hear it wrong?
Okay. If there was a question about whether it was a Beis Din Toev, in other words, that the court had made a mistake,
uh-huh.
and in that case, it could be reviewed by a higher court. But also the question is, what would be the nature of the error? If it is, for example, Torah Bidvar Mishnah, in other words, there's a definite teaching that says that this and this is what the ruling is, okay?
Right.
And they were unaware, or they had forgotten, you know, that this was the official ruling.
Right.
That in that case, we could simply say, cancel it and start all over again, okay? If it was Shikul Hadas, Shikul
right.
Hadas
right.
means that only it's a question of interpretation,
right.
that you might interpret this way or you might interpret the other way because you have authorities to, you know, to support both points of view, then in that particular case, it may not necessarily be reviewed because it's a question of relying upon the judgment of the judges in that case. it's not as simple as it seems. I mean, there are many ramifications, as you can see. However, you know, what we're dealing with right now is the fact, you know, as the two competing systems, so to speak, or two competing outlooks as to why a person should get Malkus or not get Malkus, right? He gets Malkus if, according to theory A, he made it impossible ever to fulfill it, but as long as there is a possibility that he could fulfill what the court asked him to do, then in that case he wouldn't get Malkus. That's theory A.
Very, very lenient.
Yes, that's a lenient philosophy, there's no question. Right. Whereas, on the other point of view, it's not going to make any difference as to whether there is an affirmative action in order to, you know, to rectify, shall we say, the violation of a negative commandment, but it's dependent upon if the court says, do this, and he does it immediately, then in that case, he doesn't get Malkus. Right. But if he defies the court by not doing it immediately, then in that particular case, he gets Malkus for it. So there are two different points of view. Yeah.
How do you nullify a positive commandment?
How do you nullify a positive commandment? The most common way is not to observe it, that's all. To observe it.
Because it says here, and so I was just reading commentary while you were talking here. Second part of the statement explicitly says that he's not liable to Malkus until he nullifies the positive commandment.
All right. Well,
I don't understand.
He's talking only about this specific case that we're talking about, namely that, you know, he's told you have to remarry her, okay?
Yeah.
And he refuses to do so. Okay, how does he refuse to do so? So in the case of nullification, as we said, you know, he came up with some trickery in order to make it impossible to do so. Okay, so that's bitlo. Although in the case of the Kohen, as we saw, you don't have to even resort to trickery because the Kohen itself says it.
But nullifying a positive commandment is not being done.
But the average nullification of a positive commandment, you're told to do this, okay, and if you don't do it, as long as you haven't done anything,
you're
not going to get punished for that. There are only two positive commandments, as far as the Torah is concerned, where if you didn't do it, you get kores.
Yeah.
Right. Okay? Brit Milah is one. You're told that you must circumcise, and you didn't circumcise, okay? And the other one is eating Korban Pesach.
Korban Pesach.
Right.
I'm talking about as long as you have a Beis Hamikdash, you have the opportunity sacrifice a Korban Pesach and to eat it, you know, together with your group.
It's going to do it.
It could be family, it could be friends, neighbors, you know, you form a group to eat Korban Pesach. Those are the only two positive commandments where the Torah says that if you didn't do it, then the nichus are nefeshahi. Okay?
Right.
In the soul of us forever.
Right.
In this case here, and ask they have to come after a law in order to nullify the punishment.
That's a different case.
The other case where a law comes after the
The law after the assay?
After the rape?
He
has to marry her. That's all.
Correct.
He has to marry her and pay the fine. That's all. That's the he performs a positive commandment. He marries her, remarries her. He corrects
the
Yeah. Well, okay. He divorced her. That's the law. He divorced her.
Okay. If you remember, for example,
talking about the rape.
No. Let's turn the page back again.
The rectification. Here we say, I want to just find this again. Let's see the front row.
Okay. Third line from the top.
Okay.
On Omid Aleph. Okay.
Third line.
Omid Aleph.
Right. Remember, Rabbi said that by God, he said, actually, he did say it. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan probably did make the statement. Why? Because Uksiva, he says, we have a pasuk in the Torah to show that there is this possibility. right? Bitanina, and also we have a Mishnah. In other words, a statement in the Gemara, you know, to back it up. Kesiva, where does it say in the Torah where we have first a positive command and then we have a negative? It says, first of all, it's written, Yishalchu min ha-machne, right? That they shall send away from the camp, right? Called Tzavua v'chol Zav, anybody who's suffering from leprosy or who has an issue for the skin, right? V'chol Tomei Lanofish, right? And then it says, V'lo yitavu es machnehem, okay? That they are not to defile the camp. Now, obviously, we could say that simply the negative means that it only follows the affirmative in order to say that if they didn't do the affirmative, then this is going to be the result. Yes. But that's not the way they take it. They take it as two separate ideas. One is the affirmative, that the Shalchum al-Makhi, you are required to send away, you know, those who are suffering from leprosy or so on and so forth, right? And the other one, the Lovi Thomas Bach Nehem, this is a general statement that says that people are not to be mitame the Machte Shechina. Alright? In other words, they're not allowed to come into the Beis HaMikdash, as the Gemara afterwards says, right? Bola Mikdash Tomei. Not allowed to come into the Beis HaMikdash in the state of Tumah. Okay? So there we have a case where first we have an affirmative commandment, right? A positive commandment. Right. And then it's followed by a negative. And what would be the punishment for failure to carry out the Shalchum Damachna? So, according to Rabbi Yochanan, in that particular case, they should get Malkus for failure to observe that affirmative commandment. Okay?
Right. Yes, fine. I have no problem with this. Problem.
So, that was the case where we had it. All right? Yeah.
Okay, back.
All right, so getting back to this business about Hasra Sofik, all right? Hasra Sofik, as we said, this means that the court has to be very, very definite in what kind of a warning they give the person.
Right.
If it is a very definite one, you're going to get Malkus if you don't do this and this, then in that case, he can get Malkus.
Right.
Mar Sovar Hasra Sofik Shmo Hasra. But there's a difference of opinion among the authorities. One says that even a wishy-washy one already implies hasra, and therefore, for the violation, you could give malchus for it, okay? Umar sovar, and the other one says, hasra sofek, leishma hasra. He says, look, if it's a wishy-washy kind of a hasra, then it is not a real hasra. It's not real warning.
This isn't like the mar, like mar bar abba, or the mar is just saying anyone, someone that
falls. Oh yeah, right. No, I know what you mean. Yeah, no. Mar means right, one authority and the other authority. Mar and mar, okay? Yeah. One master says. I mean, the idea of mar originally was master, really.
Right. Right.
Okay. But we say, for example, in benching. You know, like Harachman Yivorech Ovi Mori,
right,
and Imi Morosi.
Mm-hmm.
That is the way we read it, okay?
Right. Yeah.
But there are older versions of the Siddur where it's not Ovi Mori, in other words, my father, my teacher, but it was Ovi Mori, my father, my master, you see. And then, of course, Imi Morosi, my mother, who is my mistress, so to speak, okay? In other words, I have to obey what she has to say, okay? Yes. Yes. Yeah, of course. You could say Mar Levi, you could say Adon Levi. I would say the preference is probably for Adon Levi rather than Mar Levi. Okay. Yeah. Because if you want to say Mr., to somebody, what do you say? You don't say Mar. What do you say? You say Adon or Adoni or something like that. That's the way you address it. So, right.
For example, if you wanted to say Mr. Sir, you would say Mar Sir.
You could, or you could say Adon Sir. More likely, they would say Adon Sir.
Adon Sir, really?
Sure, absolutely. Okay. That's the more common today.
Is it more common?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
So, one of these authorities, as we said, says that even Hasra Sofek Shmo Hasra, it still is considered Hasra. And Masova, on the other one, says Hasra Sofek Leishma Hasra, it's not. The Oz of the Tameh. And they are consistent with reasoning that they've given before in other cases as well. This is what it means by Oz the Tameh. They go in accordance with their own point of view that they've already established previously. Okay? The Itmar. We learned as follows. Shavua she'ochal kikor ze hayom. Alright. If a person takes a vow and he says, I take a vow that I'm going to eat this loaf of bread today. Okay? Hayom.
Hayom.
Alright. The over hayom, and then the day passed. V'loya cholo. He didn't eat it.
Right.
Okay? So what should be the result? Rabbi Yochanan v'reish lokish d'amri tabehu enu loke. So believe it or not, Rabbi Yochanan v'reish lokish are both in agreement that he does not get malchus. But why doesn't he get malchus? This already is because each one has a different point of view on this.
Okay.
Rabbi Yochanan Omer, he says, Eino loke, he does not get malchus. Mishum dehavi lav she'en b'maseh, because this is a negative violation, but it does not contain an actual deed. What is the deed that he did? The deed is simply that he didn't eat the bread. That's all. He didn't eat the bread. He took a vow, which he had no business making a vow in the first place if he wasn't serious about it, right? But nevertheless, you can't give him malchus for failure to eat the bread.
Right.
Because he didn't do anything, period. This is Rabbi Yochanan's point of view. The chol lav she'en bo maaseh, right? And wherever you have a lav, a violation of a negative, but you don't do anything, actually, then ain lo ke lav. You don't get malchus for that. This is a, you know, principle that we've had lots of times. Reish Lakish takes a different point of view. Reish Lakish Omer, he says, ain lo ke, he doesn't get malchus, but for a different reason. Why? He says, mishum dehevi hasra sofek. Because this was a doubtful hasra. The chol hasra sofek leishma hasra. And he says, look, any doubtful kind of hasra is not really hasra, and therefore if you violate it, you don't get any malchus for it. So they both agree it doesn't get malchus, but as we see, for two different reasons. Okay? All right. Rashi.
What was that hasra here?
The hatra'ah was that the court would come to him and say to him, look, you made a vow that you're going to eat, right?
Well, when was the court supposed to do this? This all took place in one day.
What the court is supposed to say to him is, look, if you take a vow, you got to fulfill your vow.
Right.
And if you don't fulfill your vow, then you deserve malchus.
But
we're talking hatra'ah, we're not talking about
Yeah, but that's hatra'ah, that's the... That's warning. No, they haven't passed sentence on him. That's the warning that they give him.
Talking about the value of the warning.
Is
it? Hasra
means that this is the warning that he is given. The warning that he is given is, if you take a vow, and your vow says, I'm going to eat this bread today, then you got to fulfill it. Okay.
This is before he even takes the vow. So
yeah, right.
Okay.
You warn him that this is going to be the consequence. If you take a vow, you got to be serious about it. Okay.
All right.
Let's take a look at the Rashi again. Okay.
Right.
We'll start the second line from the bottom on the previous page. Ochal v'lo ochal. Right.
Okay. Rashi.
Right. Sometimes I feel apologetic that we're not just racing through the text, but I don't believe in racing through the text. This is not easy, and I'd like to understand better what is the text trying to teach us, and to try to get a grasp of the Rashi, how does he view it, and so on, okay? It's easy enough to miss pages, you know.
Yeah. We're not interested in just getting through it.
Right, okay. Right. It says, Ochal velo ochal, all right? It says, Oval ashvuso. Look, he violated the oath that he took. Right? Kishahu yoshev uvotel. Right. When he sits simply, it probably should be simply kishahu yoshev botel. Okay. But that's a very minor correction. Okay. In other words, when he simply sits idly, he doesn't do nothing. Didn't do any action. Right? The Enkan Matze. As a result, there's no action involved over here. The Hasra is Sofek, now may have you. Nevertheless, he says, there is a Hasra Sofek, in other words, a doubtful warning involved in what way? Sheharei Tolos Man Lishruaso, because he did set a time limit for the fulfillment of his vow, namely what?
One day.
Kol Hayom, the entire day.
Right.
So that obviously, even though, he put it off and so on and so forth, but still there was implicit that he should fulfill his vow within the time allotted that he said he was going to do it. All right, so then what do we say? So we say that both are in agreement that he's not going to get Malkus, but for different reasons. In the case of Rabbi Yochanan, we said it was Mishum, the heaven lay, this is the Rashi on top, right? You see that Dalad, the Hey Lamed over there on the top? Yeah. That means Mishum, the heaven lay. With abbreviations, you sort of have to figure out what is abbreviation. Mishum to have a lay lav, because this is involved, this is a lav she'im b'masa, right? Aval mishum hasra sofek lay have a miftar. But if it were any other case of doubtful hasra, he would not have been potter from Malkus, according to Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, there could be another case where he was given even, let's say
a warning.
An implicit kind of a warning, if it wasn't, couched in the most definite terms, and he could get Malkus for the violation of what he was warned not to do. Hasra Sofek Shmo Hasra, because in his opinion, even a doubtful Hasra still is a valid Hasra, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Okay? Now, what about Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish, he said that on the contrary, he said, Mishum de Hevi Le Hasra Sofik, right? Okay, so he says the reason is because it was Hasra Sofik, it was a doubtful kind of a warning given. Aval Mishum Lav, She'ein Bo Maaseh, but as far as the principle of a Lav, which doesn't contain any actual action involved, Lo Hava Miftar, says Reish Lakish. Who says that he should get off scot-free without getting Malkus for violation of that? Because Savar, because he's of the opinion, Lav She'ein Bo Maaseh, that if you violate a Lav, okay, even if there's no tangible action involved in it, but if you violated the Lav, then Lokin the Lav, Reish Lakish is convinced that you should get Malkus for the violation of any Lav.
Because at the end of the day, he didn't.
In this particular case, yes. In this case, he said he's not going to get it.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, but in another case,
he would get it.
He would get it, right?
He basically takes the idea that the haparat.
The haparat. Right. Yeah.
The violation of haparat law can be commission or omission.
Right.
So that even if this man does not eat the bread, which is not a positive act, it's just he fails to do something.
Correct.
Omission.
Yeah.
Then he's transgressed. He's really, in a sense, done an Abe Rock.
Right.
That's a pretty, I don't know how much they go into it. That's a very far-reaching concept.
It is.
Right.
Okay, I think we'll stop at this particular point. Think about it, okay?
Yeah,
so we'll start from over here. So now we see that we're now arguing a new position, namely whether Hasra Sofek is Hasra or whether Hasra Sofek is not, and how does it relate to the idea about the law of She'ein Bo Maaseh.
Where actually are we in the...
We are now, I'll tell you, we got as far as Tes Zion. Okay.
Amid Aleph.
Yeah, and we did the first four lines over there.
Okay, so we're right.
Yeah, Tez Zion, Amen Aleph, the first four lines. Right, we stopped at the right, V'chol Hasra Sofek L'Shva Hasra.
Will we be meeting next Wednesday?
Yeah, next Wednesday I still want to meet.
Okay.
I don't want to be mevatel, because after that I'm going to have to miss a couple of weeks,
Right. Those bits...
we could say that, you know, her Isak mitzvah, potter ben mitzvah, that if you're busy, occupied with one mitzvah, then you're excused from another.
Another one. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yep. We're on Tes Zayin.
We're on Tes Zayin Omenolov, right.
And okay. Today is March 27, 1996.
Yeah, March 27. Okay,
base. Yeah, nope.
Right.
Ready
in
Chodesh Nisan. Right. Yeah. Erev Pesach almost, huh?
Practically, it's around the corner. It's breathing down our necks.
Yeah.
All right. So, to get back again, we see then that right now we have a difference of opinion between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Okay? Mm-hmm. And even though the second line from the bottom at the previous page said that in the case that they were discussing at that moment, which was if a person takes an oath and he says, I take an oath that I'm going to eat this piece of bread today, and then the day passed and he didn't eat it, so both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish said that he's not going to get Malkus, but for different reasons. Rabbi Yochanan said he doesn't get Malkus, right? Eino Loki, he says, because Mishum Dehavilav Shem B'Masa, he says, this that he didn't, you know, he doesn't get Malkus for a violation of something which it's a negative thing. I mean, he was supposed to do it, but he didn't. He didn't keep his word, obviously, right? So he should have gotten Malkus, but because there was no tangible action that was involved in it, that's why. But what is the corollary? The corollary would be then that according to Rabbi Yochanan, doubtful, in other words, Hasroa Sofek is still to be considered as Hasroa. Still considered a warning that he should not have violated the law. Okay. Reish Lakish's opinion. Reish Lakish said, right, Reish Lakish Omer Einu Loka, he says it doesn't get Malkus. Why? Mishum de Havei Hasroa Sofek, because he says this was doubtful Sofek. It wasn't couched in such terms that said, you know, look, if you don't eat then that piece of bread today, you're going to get Malkus. So this was only like doubtful Sofek. But what is the reverse of it? The reverse would be that if it weren't for that fact, then he would have gotten Malkus. In other words, if it would be a violation of a law, Shein Bomase, even though he didn't do anything tangible, but the very fact that he violated means that he should have gotten Malkus. But because the Hasra itself was a doubtful Hasra, and we don't give Malkus unless we have Hasra to begin with, which should be a valid Hasra. So that's the reason why he says no.
All right. What was the exact decree? What it concerned what he was
concerned
given a decree
the man
to
who said,
to
I take an oath.
Huh? I'm
no.
Sorry, go tell me.
A man says, I take an oath, right? Shavua she ochal kikar ze hayom.
Okay.
I'm going to eat this piece of bread today. And then he didn't. Mm-hmm. So what do you do with it? Obviously, he violated an oath, and therefore he should receive some kind of a punishment. But both Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan said he doesn't get Malkus, but for two different reasons. Because Rabbi Yochanan says that he doesn't get it because this is a lav she'ein bo maaseh. Okay, he violated that. Okay. Reish Lakish says that because it was only Hasra Safek.
Right, okay.
But the implication is that according to Rabbi Yochanan, if it is a lav she'ein bo maaseh, he should have gotten Malkus, but because, you know, the Torah let him off easy because there was no actual physical deed, but nevertheless, Hasra Sofek is still Hasra, according to him.
Right?
Right?
I understand.
And okay. The other point of view is that Hasra Sofek is not valid, according to Reish Lakish, therefore he doesn't get Malkus. But Lav Shein B'Masa, if he does something and there's no, and he violates it, then in that case he should get Malkus.
Right.
Right.
Now the Gemara continues. It says Vitarbaihu, and both of them, that's the last word on line
yeah,
four,
yeah.
Right? David were on Tez Zion Omid Aleph right
there. Okay,
now.
Good, very good. That's true.
Yeah, we're moving on.
Yeah, no, actually, that's where I have my mark.
I was thinking today, a little bit earlier today, about when maybe could we expect to make a seal. Uh-huh. And I think that it wouldn't be too far-fetched to say that maybe towards the end of June we should be finished with this.
Oh, yeah.